So let's get started. I'm Lorette Farris, host of Capital Academy, and on this segment, I'd like to welcome Josh Silverstone.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. We are happy to have you, Josh. And Josh helps leaders and businesses make better and more profitable decisions. That is fabulous, Josh. And thank you so much for joining us today on the show.
Thank you very much.
And today, the topics that we want to make sure that we're touching on are building to your exit. And that's sort of a strategy that I talk about often. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and ACES Race?
Oh, thank you. So I help companies, entrepreneurs, and small businesses, or large companies as well, make better decisions using the game of poker as an analogy. So definitely a lot to get into there, but there's certain things that come up. Risk management, for one, from a sales perspective, knowing what opportunities to go after, that's another. And also the different personality types or player types, so to speak, and knowing how to adjust to different types of people is also a very key component. And knowing when to make adjusts in businesses is also a big aspect as well. So those are in a very broad top, you know, high-end perspective, kind of the type of things that we do.
I always thought that was so interesting when I hear you talk about relating business and decisions that have to be made and strategies to poker. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to play poker, right? Mm-hmm. But in everything I've seen and understand about it, I really can imagine, I can see that. I can see the thought process. I guess it's similar to people that play chess, right? Mm-hmm. There's certain life lessons you take out of chess, and looking at how you put poker together with business, I think, is really interesting.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I'm a big believer in that you learn something from everything you do, and not just about whatever it is that you do. So, you know, I grew up playing, you know, football in high school, for example, and there's certain lessons I learned on the football field that I took with me through life and business. Poker in particular, just because of the financial aspect of it, just because of the people aspect of the game and the different analogies with, you know, cards and risk and calculated risk in particular, and looking at the idea of expected value, how that plays very well in the business world. Because, you know, in business and life, there's nothing that's guaranteed. So it's about putting yourself in the best position to win. And poker makes a really good analogy for trying to get that point across.
Gotcha. Now, I don't know how to do this easily, but I'm going to see if I can segue that into the subject that we're going to talk about
today.
Right?
All right.
So I came across an article, and that's what I want to be able to do here on Capital Academy Recap, right? I want to bring information to the entrepreneurial ecosystem that makes sense for them, right? And I came across an article about a former Jackson Hewitt executive, Jackson Hewitt being the outfit that does taxes, you know, comparable to, I'm forgetting their name now.
What's TurboTax is one?
No, the one where people go to the office.
Oh, H&R Block. Yeah.
Yes. So when I saw that, there were a couple of interesting things I took from this information that I saw. Number one, I came across the article that had to do with a startup company in the doing taxes space that's doing something new. Of course, in today's market, everybody's looking for a disruptor, right? Think about that, disruption in tax services, right? And for me, when it hit the line, they have information in there talking about the exit strategy. One of the main things that, you know, I talk to clients and when I do speeches or anything else is build to your exit. So all the pieces in that article were really interesting to me. And I know I shared some of the information with you.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to you know, start this conversation and understanding and looking at that, what struck you about a startup company in that type of a space that's looking at Uberizing their process and talking about an exit strategy. Did any of it hit you the way it did me?
Yeah, a couple things. And, you know, really, I want to lean to your experience and about, you know, why exit strategy and what type of things you can do. Mm-hmm. But that's something that I've always heard, or, you know, along going to different conferences and things for CEOs, is that you should always plan to have an exit strategy. Mm-hmm. Just from a simple standpoint, whether you're actually planning to exit the business or you're planning to stay in it forever, if it's a family business, still have an exit strategy, because then it's where you're trying to get to, all the steps along the way, you're going to be working towards something. So that's number one. A couple other aspects of the article that you shared. One, we talked about Uberizing. You know, what are Uber and Amazon doing? Well, they are disrupting the space, clearly. I mean, look at retail and how everything, how all that's happening. But, you know, these companies that are growing to be huge without actually owning anything. And mm-hmm. that is a very interesting and novel concept. Right. I think it's something we're going to talk about a little bit later. But just that idea alone. And then I think the third thing I'll mention about the article is the idea that this company, they brought in a guy with a lot of experience. They brought him on, I believe, as an investor, but definitely to be part of their board.
Exactly.
Because to get insight. Yep. So I think from a, you know, which is very in line with everyone mm-hmm. here, we're in this community and part of the iBoss community and how we all work together, leaning on experts, people with particular expertise and insights and experience that can come to the table that can help you get to where you're trying to go. They've already won the game you're trying to play. So bring them into the fold and learn from them and then model after. So
And I'm glad you also brought up Amazon. Just today in the reports that came out relative to job reports, the retail sector is really taking a huge hit.
Sure.
And it's taking a huge hit because so much is going online and Amazon is just taking over. So remember, it used to be the time in the community that the strip malls started losing a lot of business because the big malls were showing up. Mm-hmm. Well, now all of a sudden Amazon is coming in and even disrupting that space, right?
Yeah.
But pulling back, and yes, going to, and you said the exact thing that I preach, right? Preach and teach. I don't know which one I would use.
It's a fine line, but yes.
Right?
Yeah.
and that is, as a new, a growing, a young company, and a lot of people don't think about this, you think about your exit strategy because of exactly what you said. That's what helps you to grow in a certain way, right? Mm-hmm. If you are just building or starting your business and you think you want to do an initial public offering, an IPO one day, then you're going to have bigger goals as to how you're going to grow the business to get to that place, versus if you're starting your business and you know you want to leave it to your children to have a legacy for them to run, mm-hmm. you're going to build it differently than what you would do with an IPO. So that's exactly the right mindset for any business to have, is to think about what the end goal is, so that as you're walking through the paces, you're building toward that, right?
Absolutely. It's a Stephen Covey, you know, start with the end in mind.
Exactly. Absolutely. That's And it's so funny when I am speaking with entrepreneurs that, let's say, for instance, are just at the point of putting a business plan together. You still sort of get that cross eye from them. Why are you talking about an exit strategy? I'm just beginning the business plan. Mm-hmm. And the exit strategy makes sense for you, the business owner, anyone you're thinking about coming to work within the business with you, and especially if you're looking to raise capital, the investors that may potentially invest. So thinking about it from that respect, you know, is huge. Mm-hmm. Though you made a point to me that this article wasn't necessarily about the exit strategy, right? It was about so many other pieces. And again, I think that's what resonated to me. This is a startup company. They've been around for about 2 years. They already raised about $1.5 million. And by the way, I'm not being paid to advertise them. However, we didn't say the name. I think the name of the company is Happy Tax. Right? Mm-hmm. And so they are the next phase of the tax preparation, but Uberizing it, they're looking to put a lot of it online. in order to do. And the experience they brought in was someone who was very much involved with Jackson Hewitt. So I just think that those entrepreneurs, either they were lucky or they understood how to build it out the right way to hit some successes. But for them to be 2 years old and on this track already, I think is just tremendous for them.
Yeah, that's a lot of traction very quickly. So yeah. Yeah, kudos to them. And it sounds like they're doing it the right way.
Yeah, yeah. To get a name like that to be on your board, as well as to invest in the business, I think is significant.
Yeah,
you know?
It says a lot. Yeah.
It really does. And you know, one of the other conversations I do have with in this, iBoss does a lot with companies who are looking to raise capital. And there is sort of that conversation that goes on about investors, and most of them want tech companies versus not. And a lot of times my conversation is, but investors are looking for those staid businesses also, right? There are brick and mortars, there are traditional businesses, but when you can add some technology to what it is that's happening and sort of change the trajectory of what you're doing, all of a sudden you become a candidate to be looked at. Mm-hmm. Did you see any of that coming out to you in the information about Happy Tax?
That was particularly unique. I don't know that it went into that level of detail specifically. If it did, mm-hmm. if it was there, that I missed it. Mm-hmm. So from a investable opportunity in terms of that perspective, I didn't see what was that differentiator.
Right.
It kind of alluded to a few things, but mm-hmm. in terms of the specific, oh, here's definitely a unique
right.
value proposition, I didn't catch that. Did you
right.
see anything in particular?
I didn't, outside of they built the image
yeah.
when they said about Uber and Amazon.
Okay.
You know, how do you put the Uber or Amazon model together with a tax preparation operation?
Yeah, I think one of the big things there was, not necessarily having a brick and mortar and
right.
just being the online
right.
aspect. So I think from that perspective, one of the best ways to make money is mm-hmm. to not have high overhead expenses, right? You know, so, and, you know, the cost of rent is very costly
right.
And certainly human capital also.
Yeah.
So to the extent that you can reduce both of those things, then you're just starting
right.
off that much stronger. So,
okay. So for today's recap, I think as far as the topic of the day, that was the topic. I wanted to sort of pull together this information, but that also is what we want to be able to do on Recap, and that's bring out information about early stage startup, young companies that is pushing information out there and bring it to the audience that I think needs to hear about this information. Because now the exciting part of this, I've asked entrepreneurs to send us some questions and comments so that when I have the experience on, such as Josh Silverstone with Aces Raise, that we get an opportunity to hear some questions or comments that other entrepreneurs have out there, and then we can digest them.
Sounds great.
So, Josh, I'm going to have us listen to the first question.
Hey, iBoss, Julie Pittman here with Color and Soul Cosmetics. I found that investors are very interested in what your exit strategy is. My question is, how do you know when it's time to execute your exit strategy?
Interesting for what we just spoke about.
That's right.
Any thoughts on that, Josh?
You know, I'm going to kick it back to you because I think you're certainly more the expert to answer this particular question, and I'll throw a couple cents
okay.
at the end, 2 cents at the end maybe.
Okay. Well, I might have 1 cent for this.
All right.
Because I think I put it out there. However, yes, Julie Pittman, thank you so much for sending in that question. And how do you know when to execute on your exit strategy? It has to do with what you built into your plan. For instance, Are you seeking to exit because there's a reason? Meaning, is it medical? Is it, you know, family related or something other than just a business strategy? Then that's what you do. And that pulls back to the reason you want to think about your exit strategy early on, so that if something comes up outside of standard business fare, that you're prepared for an exit. But outside of that, when is it time to exit? That, I think, is a money issue. When you're up, when you are, there is a pyramid that I've done that talks about when you are at your height. If you know it's not the company that you plan on truly being with for the rest of your life, then that's when you start executing. Because once you reach the peak, if you don't stay there, then all of a sudden it starts going down. And you would have missed the height of what you might be able to sell or merge or anything else. Mm. So does that resonate for you?
Yeah, those are great insights. So, and that's kind of where my head was at, was sort of, well, one, is it out of necessity, right? Mm-hmm. Or is it the, you know, buy low, sell high type of stock, you know,
right.
Perspective? Okay, this is, well, the company's at a big point and we have an opportunity. And also, you know, sometimes the exit strategy, it could be if it's to sell to XYZ or to, is taking on investors a point mm-hmm. of, is that the strategy mm-hmm. itself? And so it's kind of a timing thing, it sounds like. And kind of a need-based thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's certainly, I think it's ideal to be in the situation where this is part of the plan and now we're at the highest point and this is where we are, obviously. But, you know, for the times that it's where it's not a best case scenario, mm-hmm. Any other insights or advice for people that are like, well, I know this isn't necessarily go as far as I want, but I know this isn't necessarily the business I want to be in, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, where do I go from here, or where can people go from there?
Yeah. Then to sort of touch on that, timing still becomes part of the answer, right? If you know ahead of time that, for instance, it's not the business you really want to be in, then when you want to exit, that may be a sale as opposed to another offering. Or like you said, it might even be finding investors. There's a thing called doing, you know, a double step, where maybe the first time you find someone to invest, or you invest in someone by bringing, you could own the company, you bring in the CEO. You let them take over the operations and you sort of step back. Maybe you just become the chairman of the board. You know, that's a way to sort of exit from your responsibilities.
Your role changes on the day to day, but you still have ownership.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So timing gives you the opportunity to now create the rest of the company where financially it's going to make sense. What I mean by that, sometimes people who are operating their business, if they weren't optimizing certain things within the business, now you think you want to sell, well, you might not get the best price because you didn't pay attention to certain things that need to be in place. So if you think you're going to go that route, it's still timing. Is it going to be another year or two for you to put things in place in order for you to put it on the market, you know, for it to make sense? So every step of the way, as long as it's outside of a critical issue that goes on, it is strategic. It is a strategy that you want to develop to make sure that you are optimizing whichever direction you wind up going in.
Awesome.
Okay. So, Julie Pittman, I hope that conversation helps you on what your thought processes are. And if not, guess what? Go right back to send us a voicemail and we'll try to answer the next part of your question. So, we have time for another question, Josh. Let me see what we have.
Hi, I have a question for iBoss Inc. My name is Cheryl and I'm working on an entry-level social media training and services startup. I train entrepreneurs or members of their teams who are new to using certain social media platforms. If needed, I also create and post to social media for them. My question is, how do I create my pricing so that I pay my contractors or employees in a manner that reflects their value to my organization while making my clients feel they're getting good value, as well as accounting for my overhead? Is there a model for this? Thank you.
Great question.
Great question. Yeah.
Because of your background, I'm going to throw this opening to you.
Sure. So I don't know if there is a specific model to follow. I mean, there probably is. But a couple steps that I would take are, look at what's going on competitively in the marketplace. What are other people charging? What are other people doing? That's generally a good indicator, a way to kind of, am I in the ballpark? And adjust your price based on kind of what we were talking before. Are you adding more or different value than anyone else that's kind of doing the same thing? Right. Depending on the type of business, the strategy or the model is going to change. This being a service-based business, there's a slightly different approach, and a lot of us here are in service-based businesses. The pricing strategy also directly relates to the marketing strategy too, doesn't it? And so what I would suggest is kind of a freemium model or a step ladder type of model, where perhaps there's a free webinar or content that you do, or a radio show or video cast or whatever you want to call it, where you're putting out some information so people are getting to know who you are. Maybe that's content marketing. Then from there you have a price point, where, maybe that is the coaching and training. But then you have another price point, which is another, maybe a higher one, where if you're actually doing the social media posting, etc. One strategy that I think works very well with this, and it works well, I think, with virtual assistants, which not this is the exact same thing, but there's some similar. Sort of similar. And I think one particular way of doing it is potentially bundling packages. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that, bundling packages in terms of hours. Mm-hmm. So instead of just, I worked 1 hour, and now you send an invoice and pay, have people prepay, right? So if they buy 3 hours a month, 5 hours a month, or a package of hours over a period of 3 months, well, that way you're paid up front. Right. So you can take care of paying your people for the services, and then you can adjust that price so that you're covering your overhead costs too. Right. And I don't have an exact what that margin should be for that particular business. You might have a better answer to what kind of margins you should do. But again, start with the end in mind, and then kind of back out what you need to do do from there. But that those would be some of my recommendations.
No, I think that's great. I think that Cheryl could glean a lot out of what you just said. The only thing I would add to it is to figure out actual prices. Also, it's research, right? There are so many companies that either do or have some segment of that you can go, Missy Google gives you a lot of information, right? Go to Missy Google and take a look at what other entrepreneurs that sort of in that space, what they're charging. And even, the freelance world, right? When you go to the Fivers and the Elance, and because a lot of them, and that's why my thought also was for the virtual assistants, you can glean a lot of information on pricing structures from what you see there. So adding to the direction that you were taking, the only thing I would add is do some research to see what others are.
Absolutely.
Because your price points have to be within line. A lot of time your experience can tell you how far you can go, but if you want to get in the game, you have to be within the competitive pricing.
Absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, Josh, we always run out of time too fast when we're doing these kind of conversations, but I appreciate so much you coming in, sharing this time, and just your thought processes.
Oh, anytime. Thank you for having me, and certainly happy to do this again sometime.
Fabulous. Don't say that because I'll call you back.
That's okay.
And so thank you guys for joining us on this segment of Capital Academy Recap.